Hey Gav, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well, mate. How about yourself?
I'm very good. Welcome to episode one of Two Promoters, One Pod.
You know,
That is news.
in a year or two, in a year or two, when Spotify are fighting over the rights and there's hundreds of millions of pounds getting thrown about, I want you to remember this moment, the innocence of it, the how we were friends at this moment, all right?
Oh, we haven't fallen out yet. I've got previous of falling out of people I work with. So, I guess we should introduce ourselves for people that don't know us. I'm James. I run 2000 Trees and Arctangent Festivals.
And I'm Gav. I run Damnation Festival. And previously, if anyone's came onto this from the YouTube channel, Damnation Versus, which isn't disappearing as such, but guests were a problem and getting any sort of rhythm with it was a problem. And what I want to do is talk about a lot of the same subjects, but have someone I could trust to be there to bounce off of, which is hopefully going to be yourself.
I'm your second choice, aren't I?
Third
I'm your second girlfriend
or fourth
that
choice, but right? Like, we'll go
you've
with what we can get.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm excited for it. It's gonna be cool. We're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff that is happening in the sort of heavy music world and talk about a bunch of stuff that we come across as promoters and things that people wouldn't know about and behind the scenes stuff, I think.
Yeah, hopefully, and listen, right off the bat, guys, I never done this very well in the previous podcast. I mean, if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're interested in this, subscribe. If you're going to listen to this in Spotify, follow. We, James and I, are not going to be going about forums and groups and begging folk to listen to this. So it really helps if you've already done the hard work for us and hit that like button so it shows up on whatever channel you're watching it from. It makes a big difference. I never really done this previously, which again is tough. So aye, do us a favor right from the bat, hit that like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is you need to do to get us up and running. And we're hoping to get out every Thursday morning.
Yeah, we're gonna commit to that, aren't we?
We're gonna commit to that.
Fucking
We'll see 52 episodes, win, lose, or draw. I
hell.
mean, if no one's listening by the end of 52, we'll write it off as a bad joke. But
Yeah, deal.
let's again, something I was never able to do as well. No sort of rhythm. People like to know. I listen to a few MMA podcasts and I know when they're coming out. I enjoy the fact that's when they come out and I'm ready to listen for when they're there. The previous podcast, which was relatively successful for what it was all over the place. It was like four episodes in 3 weeks and then no episodes for a month. So there's no one to blame for a podcast not coming out now, other than you and I, considering it's only you two, us two involved.
Yeah. It's gonna happen. We're gonna do it. We say this as we've recorded nothing so far, apart from the last 3 minutes. But
So
yeah.
one of our favourite bands, you'd agree, is
Yep.
Dillinger Escape
Yep.
Plan. Now, if you've already seen the logo for this, some people would say it's a rip-off of Dillinger Escape Plan. Other people would say it's in honour of Dillinger Escape Plan. So I suppose what a listener might ask, James, is why aren't they booked for either of our festivals?
Well, that is there is a story there, I guess. I got a phone call quite a few months ago from Dillinger's booking agent asking me for 2000 Trees and Arctangent, really either or. Was I interested in having a conversation about Dillinger?
And was this
And
before it was even announced that they were coming back?
excuse me. So no, this is before anyone knew. It was a big surprise to me. Sorry, mate, I've got a massive frog in my throat.
No problem.
How do we deal with that? Or do we, is this part of
That's part of
it?
it, mate. This is
Fucking hell. Fuck me.
how it
Okay,
goes.
amazing. Lovely. Okay, you're the pro. I mean, it was a surprise, right? I think for everybody. I mean, it didn't feel like they were going to come back quite so soon. Obviously, they'd not been with that other vocalist for a long time. So it came really out of left field. And like my adrenaline, I don't know, when you do our job, and we'll talk another time about booking headliners and stuff, but it's scary, right?
Yeah.
And my adrenaline went through the roof when he said it because I was like, fucking yes, Dillinger. God. Right, okay, fuck.
So, booking Dillinger, you've got an email
Yeah.
in front of you. Like, that's what we're up to.
And I was like, so for me, that is an Arctangent band. In my head, I can always, whenever someone offers me a band, 99% of them, it's like, this is 2000 Trees, this is Arctangent. Rarely bands cross over. Now, Dillinger would fit at both festivals, but they're going to come back. They're going to be big money. It's going to be high up the bill, if not headline slot. So, fucking hell. So, yeah, I was like, Arctangent headliner. Yeah. And I went and did a bunch of research on what venues they played in the past, how big they really were. Because like Dillinger, you know, I've had a bunch of bands like Converge and Cult of Luna played Arctangent. These bands are like legends. But they are not like legends that sell out Wembley Stadium, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And trying to work out how big that band is quite difficult. So, and Dillinger, you know, in reality, were never massive. They were really well known, but they were never massive. So I've got my friend Miles. I talked to a lot about Arctangent offers, and we had a chat, and we basically worked out what we thought was the. Sometimes when you book bands, you lowball, and yeah. I'm like, we're not going to lowball Dillinger. I'm going to find the best money I've got and go to the top of my budget.
Yep.
On what I think is reasonable, and I offered him it, and it was about a third of what they were expecting.
What was the reply? Just like, no chance.
Yeah, he put a number in the reply,
and that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah, and I was like, that's cool. No, that's fine. It's not happening. And yeah, I never went back. You know, often you don't go in at your highest, and you've got more room to go. But I was in at my highest, and
yeah. Yeah,
that was
I'd if it'd been marginal, if it was a bit like, I'll go and find another 5-10 grand, and there's a conversation to be had. But if you're saying it was a third of what was needed, then there's not really a conversation. And I've had many of that, because it doesn't matter if the band's 5 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand, 200 grand. You know, it's like, if you're only willing to pay the 500, but the agent needs 2 grand, it's like, it's not much of a conversation from there. So, aye. And then, okay, it doesn't happen for Arctangent. So the fans are kind of sitting there, download happens, doesn't happen for download. People batter us. They're definitely going to be the headliner at Damnation. They're definitely going to be the headliner at Damnation. I, like yourself, there was someone actually posted on our Facebook group called The Forum, there's no way Gav didn't ask, which is probably the truest thing that's ever been written.
Yeah.
And it's right, I did ask.
And what did you get in response?
The offer that I made wasn't enough. I never got a fee. I figured back at what it would take. But again, it was known behind the scenes, what they are looking for and what I offered. It was a mile off also. And yeah, I mean, it's weird because I don't think fans are, like, we were getting people comment like, Dylan, just get playing, coming back and doing that mid-afternoon slot on the main stage would be realistic. And you can see why slightly. And like, by the time they'd gone, they played their final tour, they played Glasgow, it was a QMU. No, I think a QMU's maybe 1,300-1,400 capacity. Yep. They filled a bit, again, not even the Barrowlands. I mean, not even 2,000 capacity venue. So it's they weren't massive, even at their height, playing all their hits with Greg. So it come back, and then the fees being like proper outdoor headline fees was a bit of a shocker. So then you've got, right, who's left? Outbreak announced all their headliners, and then you're a bit like, right, well, is that it? Is that it then? But the UK, we're not getting Dillinger this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised Outbreak didn't go for it, actually. I feel like that was, if I was them, the way their model works, it feels like a really perfect booking. But I don't know, maybe not. But you're right. I saw them in Cardiff on that final tour, and they were brilliant. But yeah, I couldn't justify the money. For me, that's like, for me, it was my dream headliners that, you know, we'll talk about in a future episode, that I would break the bank for sort of money. And I just can't quite justify that for them.
And there's a bit of experience with that as well, because let's face it, we now have the botch scenario, don't we? So last year or the year before, everyone was like, botch are back, botch. This vocal, maybe a minority online, made it sound like if you book botch, you would sell it 6,000 tickets like that. And the truth of the matter was, everyone had a taste, seen what it was like. It was a bit punchy, I think is a term you like to use with a fee. It was a wee bit punchy, the fee. And no one took the bait, went to Hellfest. I was there. The crowd they attracted albeit a great set, but the crowd they attracted was a tenth, if not less, than what Clutch attracted, which who had been in a similar sort of fee, playing in a similar in a similar slot. And you're like, right, okay. And then Botch have come back. Now, I believe they have now sold it at the London show. But, I mean, those tickets are on sale for a long time, and the venues aren't small, but they're not massive either. And it was one of those ones, that, in Damnation's context, we need that headliner that's going to shift you a couple of thousand tickets. And there's every chance that Botch was doing you 500 or 600. And for that fee, you're really struggling.
Yeah, and you have to be really careful, I think, of like, you're like, in our world, we're in quite niche places, even 2000 Trees, but certainly Arctangent and Damnation. It's a niche world, and you're surrounded by like yes men and yes women, aren't you? Where everyone is basically saying, this is the best booking ever. This is the coolest booking ever. But what you have to work out is if there are 100 of those people, or 1,000 of them, or 10,000 of them, or whatever, and like 100 is not enough to justify these mad fees for these reforming bands, I don't think. And I would have loved to have Botch at Arctangent, but I never really, a lot of people disagree with me, but I didn't ever really see them as a headliner. I just don't think they were
but
ever
it,
big.
But then they had
big
to
enough.
Be with the money they were asking for. They kind of had to be. That was that was the problem as well. I don't know if they were, because I never got far enough down the conversation to know if it was a case of they just needed the fee. And don't mix, confuse this with myself or you. If a band wants to ask for a fee, they've got every right to. Bands for years and years and years tour the world to make absolutely nothing or lose money. So you've got every right to ask for it. But we're talking from this as promoters who have got every right not to lose money. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I have done that, and I have had years of lost money. So it's about us. It's very well, might be very well us going to say Dangerous Gate Plan or our favourite band, and it would be the greatest thing ever to see them top their bill. But if you're sitting at the end of it, and ultimately you've got 10, 20, 30 grand that you've lost in your festival. I mean, but go and ask a fan, do you want to pay 30 grand to go and see Dangerous Escape Plan? The answer's definitely no.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's some, and I've got some previous with like reforming bands of like, had refused at 2000 Trees, had at the drive-in at 2000 Trees. And you never, these are legends, right? These are legends of equal standing with Dillinger, if not like way higher in sort of their,
especially
cult
at the drive-in.
Status.
I mean, they were the absolute darlings of alternative music for years. I've somehow managed to lose James. Back, James?
Fuck's sake.
You are having an IT disaster.
I hate the world. I hope you got a wizard at that end to make this all go away.
At the drive-in. So, I mean, they were the darlings of alternative music for, I mean, the front cover of Kerrang for years. So,
yeah.
I mean, what was your experience with that?
Well, I mean, look, unfortunately, if you're, particularly if you're 2000 Trees, you don't get refused or at the drive-in on their first tour back. And you're just not going to. And you don't even get them probably on their second tour back. Because bands have got to work out how they're going to make their money. And the first shows back are the punchy ones, right? Where everyone gets really excited. I went to see Out the Drive-In on that first tour at Brixton Academy, and it was amazing. A lot of people were a bit critical of it, but I thought they were brilliant. And people were really up for it. And I think the interest drops off. Again, lots of people didn't really like their new music. I thought it was good, actually. And I thought their EP they released was brilliant. But people aren't that excited. But when you get offered, I was then eventually offered at the drive-in for 2000 Trees, and I just tore their hands off. And at the time, it was the most expensive band I'd ever booked. And it still remains to be one of the most expensive. Now, was it worth it financially? I don't really know. Do the kids that come to 2000 Trees, like, I mean, they're not kids, the young people, you know, does a 20-year-old rock fan know anything about At the Drive-In? I don't really know.
Yeah.
Or Refused, or Dillinger, or Botch. So 2000 Trees is, a lot of the audience is young. So that is a bit more of a tricky decision then. But, you know, I had such a great time having that band at my festival. It was worth a bit of money.
But you look out from the main stage when those bands are playing, and is it a case of, right, okay, that was worth the punt for, well, both of those, for example, at a drive-in and refused? How does that compare to a Jimmy Eat World or a Thrice or whoever else you've had up there?
For the punters or for me?
Not for the punters, for the people that are buying the tickets.
But yeah, because there's an element of like, you're doing, it's like the most stressful job in the world, but also you're so lucky to be able to book these bands, right?
Yes.
What an amazing job. And so that's why I said, was it for me or the punters? But for the punters, I think, no, there's way more commercial bands. I mean, for me, like Enter Shikari at 2000 Trees is just like a brilliantly commercial option. Everyone loves them. They're brilliant live. They're not pissing anybody off. They're not on call like some of the younger bands are. They're just great. At the Drive-In's a much more mixed thing. I think Jimmy Eat World have had a longer career, more albums than At the Drive-In. Like not necessarily a longer career, but they've been around without Keep Breaking Up and all that.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's probably a better booking. I don't know. I mean, how do you even get the data on this? It's just like putting your finger in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many of those bands that have just become so much bigger, but especially when you've got a Dillinger Escape Plan. It's like, so if I was to go and see Dillinger Escape Plan now in some reform, I am an older era fan. I mean, I love Calculating Infinity. 43% Bump is an absolute banger, but I want to hear Milk Lizard and Farewell Mona Lisa and Prancer and Black Bubblegum. I want to hear the huge hits that when you're at a festival, it's just like, boom, we're here. You know what I mean? So that's also, I mean, it's not a case of like you're booking Dillinger Escape Plan and you're getting the Dillinger Escape Plan everyone recognises. You're booking the Dillinger Escape Plan and you're getting the niche version. And I've literally just done that with Enslaved. And I had Enslaved fans who love that band and have followed the band for years. And we booked their debut and a lot of people were very excited about it. But it was also Enslaved fans that have been with that band for 10, 15 years who had never heard of Viking or Veldi and knew nothing about it. So that's a bit of a shock as well. You could book that Dillinger, people go, yes, Dillinger, I can't wait to hear Milk Lizard. And it's like, you're not getting Milk Lizard, mate. You're getting Calculating Infinity and Dimitri and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think that is always the danger of any sort of full album set is that, because we had Every Time I Die doing Hot Damn, and some people are like, fucking hell, why have you chosen that album?
Love that album so much. That is my favorite.
I don't think it was that they didn't like the album, but they were like, of all the albums you could have chosen, it was that one. So so again, that like Dillinger coming back and doing one album or anyone doing one album is dangerous. And your example of Enslaved is a good one because I'm an Enslaved fan and I don't know that album.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not like I regret doing it, but I'm just saying that's the point when you're going to Calculate Infinity. There's definitely older era of Dillinger fans, maybe never even knew anything about or heard the Dimitri era. And they're a bit like, right, okay, let's go and get all this Miss Machine and Onwards. And ultimately, you're going to get Calculate Infinity. So that's a tougher sale as well than you were just getting a Dillinger Escape Plan coming back with or without Greg and doing all their hits. You know what I mean? As hard as that would be to do Greg's melodies, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, have you had like these sort of reformation type things at Damnation, or have you asked bands to get back together? Is that something you ever think about?
Try to think, because you get the ones that feel, I mean, yes, I suppose the answer, the Carcass and At the Gates are two very big examples, but they feel different. You know what I mean? It's like Carcass and At the Gates. I mean, especially I wasn't even promoting music by the time they'd broken up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you're getting Carcass back, I mean, who really get the chance, unless you're an old grindhead from back in the day, and we've got to see those super tours, was it Grind Crusher tours? And you're posting your ticket stub that you got for £2.50. Now, the rest is under the age of 50, like maybe never get the chance to see those ones. So Carcass came back and released new music and were able to successfully blend the older stuff with the newer music and create them. And they've got a bigger profile now, I understand, than any of the venues they ever played back in the day. At the Gates, maybe a similar size band that what they were, but they've came back. So yes, we have, and that they didn't. We were the first event in the UK to book Carcass in 2008 when they came back, and that was a massive. I mean, we sold out that year very quickly, and that was a massive deal. But it didn't feel like us. We're in a different era now where bands are reforming and asking for super fees. It felt like when Carcass came back, it was a very. I mean, they've neither really went up nor down, out with inflation, what you'd expect. So it's like, were those two bands, they were entirely reasonable for when they did reform coming back and playing for. But these ones, a lot of times these feel like cash grabs a wee bit, like they refused situations. Like, they probably never even made enough money when they were playing shows to cover that night, and now they're asking for like fees that you'd expect for like established bands like your Lamb of Gods and Mastodons.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to begrudge Botch or At the Drive-In or Refused, because they all like broke up fairly. I'm not a historian, but they broke up fairly soon after their like big albums and also before all the cash was there. Yeah, so it's like, I mean, I one of the things I try and do is like, there's a couple of like really legendary bands that I try to get to reform. So the Reuben is one at 2000 Trees that I try, and Ocean Size. I don't know if you know Ocean Size, but
yes,
you know, they're quite a hard band to describe because they're weird, but they're Mike Vernard plays in his solo project quite a bit, Arctangent, and I always poke him on like, come on, Ocean Size. I don't want it to sound like I don't like the reunions, because basically
what happens in that situation though, they then, because that's probably a perfect example. So Ocean Size aren't doing this sitting in a meeting room in New York or whatever and saying, right, okay, let's get together, let's get this run of festivals, no, make some money that we never made back here. James from Arctangent has convinced Mike Vernard to do it, but he comes back and he says, right, I know, but if we're going to do it, we're going to need serious money, because ultimately we need to go in and rehearse for that stuff again. They get the band back together again. But then you what? But because you love them, I mean, that are Ocean Size doing 5,000 tickets?
Well, no, exactly. They're not. So then, I mean, then you're asking an impossible question, which is how many people are there waiting for Ocean Size to come back? And I don't know the answer to that. And of course, I'm not talking about any band specifically here, but why do bands break up? Usually because they don't get on, right? So, you know, it isn't that bands are going to get back together for $5,000.
Yeah.
Even if that's the fair fee, because they've got to all sit in a room together again and try and, you know, whether it's Reuben or Ocean Size or Refused, I'm sure part of it was them like just not working and not enjoying it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's a tricky one. But everyone's reforming now, aren't they? So I got like Mallory Knox have just reformed they're playing Slam Dunk, but I got offered them at 2000 Trees. And Kids in Glass Houses are playing 2000 Trees. And there's a bunch of bands that have just not been gone
very
that
long.
We're leaving Slagging Off Slayer to another day.
I think Slayer merits its own. Because there's a wider conversation with the whole Slayer situation, like not about Slayer, but are bands now using this as a bit of marketing? And how fair is that on the fans or even promoters, if you give a shit about promoters? Which I'm sure nobody does. No. Let's leave Slayer, but then that's another perfect example. Okay, we promise we'll try and keep these episodes short and sweet. The plan is to maybe have 20-odd minutes of chatting about a given subject, and then at the end of it, we're going to do an on-the-record, going to recommend a band we're listening to or an album folks are listening to. We've got extra positivity sprinkled upon it. So talking of that, we have a sponsor for this. I said how professional we're going to even get a sponsor, and it's our good friend Lou from Lou's Brews, who does a sauce for Damnation, which was fantastically popular. Does one for Arctangent, and I believe he also had one for Download. Have you tried any of them before?
Well, he at Download, he was in the backstage area pouring hot sauce down my throat. I literally, like you might do with tequila. So I don't know if it was a Download hot sauce, but he's done like Bring Me the Horizon hot sauces.
He released a creeper because he restocked. We sold out the Damnation hot sauce in hours at Damnation. I didn't realise there was such an appetite for hot sauce in the metal scene, but there you go. He's clearly onto something. He's got, and then yesterday or the day before he released the four creeper bottles, he's got Bleed From Within, our mutual friends, Bosk. So he's clearly the sauces are excellent. And he's got in with that metal audience. As sponsor of the podcast, he's offering, if you go to his website, which is lewsbrews.co.uk, and use the code POD15, you get 15% off your first order. So show the guy some love, show the podcast some love. They're great sauces. Once you try them, you're probably going to be ordering them regularly anyway. So yes, we'll hear a lot more from that guy and whatever ones he's releasing. And again, thank you very much, Lou, for the support. Nice to have that support right off the bat.
Yeah, really massively appreciate it. I've I've got a bottle of the Bosque one in my fridge and the Arctangent one I've finished. So maybe I'll buy a Damnation one next.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're listening, they're there now. He says they're going to fly it fast, so make sure you get them sent to you. So on the record, I suppose in the first episode, again, a bit of Dillinger Escape Plan fanboying. Let's stick with that. So you're just listening to this. Maybe you don't know a great deal about Dillinger Escape Plan. You're like, okay, I'll go and check them out. Where should they start, James? What's your recommendation?
And what a song I'm going to... So I'm a late Dillinger fan, which kind of fits with the... I didn't want to get too excitable about the reunion doing the first album. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Prancer. I think that's off their penultimate album. It's a brilliant mix of, like, heavy, crazy Dillinger and melody as well. And I think that when they do that is when they're at their best, or certainly when it suits me the most. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's is that the opening track on One of Us is a Killer?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Great choice. I will, likewise, I hope this isn't too much of a cop-out for the Calculating Infinity holds that are going to listen to this, but Milk Lizard, when off Ironworks, when they headlined Damnation, and that's a point we should make. Both of us booked Dillinger Escape Plan when we were getting a bit originally as well. So anyone listening to this who feels like we don't believe that Dillinger Escape Plan are worth their offer with us, it's not that at all. I mean, we paid for them when they were kicking about in the first instance. But when they played Damnation, the headline Damnation in 2010, and he's got to that chorus, it feels like never ending. And I was topless, crowd surfing, making a fool of myself again.
Amazing.
It was great. So listen, to wrap this all up, are we going to see them? Are they doing, if they're not doing the festivals, are they getting over for a London show? Give the people hope.
I'm going to, I don't know, if I was a betting man, I'm going to say no, I don't think so. But because where are they going to play? How big are they going to play in London? I just don't think it's going to be worth their... They're going to do Brixton Academy? 5,000 people? I don't have any inside intel.
On that depressing note, we hope you enjoyed the first episode. See you next week, guys.